selection from John Berger's Steps Towards a Small Theory of the Visible. What is a likeness? When a person dies, they leave behind, for those who knew them, an emptiness, a space. The space has contours and is different for each person mourned. This space with its contours is the person's likeness, and it is what the artist searches for when making a living portrait. A likeness is something left behind invisibly. Soutine was among the great painters of the 20th century. It has taken 50 years for this to become clear, because his art was both traditional and uncouth, and this mixture offended all fashionable tastes. It was as if his painting had a heavy broken accent and was so considered inarticulate, at best exotic and at worst barbarian. Now his devotion to the existent becomes more and more exemplary. Few other painters have reveled more graphically than he the collaboration, implicit in the act of painting, between model and painter. The poplars, the carcasses, the children's faces on Soutine's canvases clung to his brush. Xitao, to quote him again, wrote, "Painting is the result of the receptivity of ink. The ink is open to the brush. The brush is open to the hand. The hand is open to the heart. All this in the same way as the sky engenders what the earth produces. Everything is the result of receptivity." It is usually said about the late work of Titian or Rembrandt or Turner that their handling of paint became freer. Although, in a sense true, this may give a false impression of willfulness. In fact, these painters in their old age simply became more receptive, more open to the appeal of the model and its strange energy. It is as if their own bodies fall away. When once the principle of collaboration has been understood, it becomes a criterion for judging works of any style, irrespective of their freedom of handling. Or rather, because judgment has little to do with art, it offers us an insight for seeing more clearly why painting moves us. Rubens painted his beloved Helene Formant many times. Sometimes she collaborated, sometimes not. When she didn't, she remains a painted ideal. When she did, we too wait for her. There's a painting of roses in a vase by Mirandi, 1949, in which the flowers wait like cats to be let into his vision. This is very rare for most flower paintings remain pure spectacle. There is a portrait of a man painted on wood 2 millennia ago whose participation we still feel. There are dwarves painted by Velázquez, dogs by Titian, houses by Vermeer, in which we recognize as energy the will to be seen. More and more people go to museums to look at paintings and do not come away disappointed. What fascinates them? To answer, art, or the history of art, or art appreciation, misses, I believe, the essential. In art museums, we come upon the visible of other periods, and it offers us company. We feel less alone in the face of what we ourselves see each day appearing and disappearing. So much continues to look the same. Teeth, hands, the sun, women's legs, fish. In the realm of the visible, all epochs coexist and are fraternal, whether separated by centuries or millennia. And when the painted image is not a copy, but the result of a dialogue, the painted thing speaks if we listen. In matters of seeing, Joseph Beuys was the great prophet of the second half of our century, and his life's work was a demonstration of, and an appeal for, the kind of collaboration I'm talking about. Believing that everybody is potentially an artist, he took objects and arranged them in such a way that they begged the spectator to collaborate with them, not this time by painting, but by listening to what their eyes tell them and remembering. I know a few things more sad, not tragic, than an animal who has lost its sight. Unlike humans, the animal has no supporting language left, which can describe the world. If on a familiar terrain, the blind animal manages to find its way about with its nose. But it has been deprived of the existent, and with this deprivation it begins to diminish until it does little but sleep, therein perhaps hunting for a dream of that which once existed. The Marquis de Sourcy de Thelusian, painted in 1790 by David, looks at me. Who could have foreseen in her time the solitude in which people today live? A solitude confirmed daily by networks of bodiless and false images concerning the world. Yet their falseness is not an error. If the pursuit of profit is considered as the only means of salvation for mankind, turnover becomes the absolute priority, and consequently the existent has to be disregarded or ignored or suppressed. Today, to try to paint the existent is an act of resistance instigating hope.